Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Today on Edgewise, our guest is Carol Sanford. Carol is the CEO of Interactive. She's author of the new book, The Responsible Business, Reimagining Sustainability and Success. Welcome to Edgewise, Carol.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, let's go right to the heart of the matter. What is responsible business?
For me, it's a systemic, pervasive way of thinking rather than a program or a project. Like when I was a child and every business I went into thought about everything they impacted, it wasn't a part of what they did. They didn't have a separate CSR officer. They didn't have some best practices. And then other parts of their business were not considering their responsibility.
Right. So
I've been working on this for 35 years, and I've never even used the term sustainability, corporate responsibility, because it was just a way of doing business. But I noticed that suddenly people are using those terms, and some of these ideas that are systemic are taking off. And I felt like the train was going in the wrong direction, and that I had to put back an idea of not being programmatic, but being pervasive.
Mm-hmm. Now, the subtitle of your book is Reimagining Sustainability and Success. What's behind that?
The reason is you literally have to image a whole when you're at work. And we have to get beyond what we've been doing with the parts and the pieces of sustainability, beyond just doing less harm, and into thinking about how we make things whole, how consumers become more whole in what we do, how the employees become more whole and grow, the earth, the community, and the investor.
Now, you're talking about a holistic approach, and I would think that the shareholders are important for getting approval.
You don't need approval to be profitable and to do what's right. People want to invest for what I call an enduring ethical return.
Well, that's true.
But to me, the key is the reason you're in business is to have a customer or a consumer have their life improved as a result of you doing something for them they either can't or don't want to do for themselves. So if you start there, and you look at how you increase their vitality, their health, and do something for them, now you've started in the right place, and that's where the investor wants you to start too.
Right. Of course, a major factor here is this isn't just being good to the community or the world. You're really talking about return on investment.
Well, you can't even separate the customer or the consumer from community. They are in a community.
Right.
If you start with the consumer and customer, and then you look at how do you connect every what I call co-creator. Now, I made up a term here because we've separated suppliers from employees, and they're really all a part of the co-creative process for that consumer. So think about how we make their vitality better. Like employees want to get smarter. They want to contribute. They want to bring their own uniqueness, and so do suppliers. So you put that group together working with the consumer, and suddenly you have a whole different vitality from your organization.
And of course, this will demand support from leadership and the management staff.
No question. Part of what has happened is we have isolated it into a department, an officer, and they are responsible to remind all of us of the things we should do. And they create a set of best practices. What really has to change is the executive and the leadership. And I think they want to do this. And MIT research at Sloan School said that they're really wanting this more systemic view. They're noticing now that it's parts and pieces, and it's very hard to manage. It's not designed into the way work systems and management practices are created.
And the study from MIT tells us that going into the future, sustainability is going to be a major management issue.
Yes.
Which raises the question, what is the path to becoming a responsible business?
It's first a cultural idea. If you don't have a culture which has responsibility as the ongoing conversation, you can't move the organization.
Right.
Then what you do is start to embed it in strategy. And you begin to look at how you make it a part of every strategic decision you make, every branding decision you make, and you slowly work down so you're building that into leadership capability. You change how you're developing leaders because they are thinking about how responsibility is affected by every decision they make. And you land at the end with redesigning every work system, every pay and progression system. All of that has to be reconsidered so that it's linked to that strategy. Of course, if you're a new startup, you have to do that in reverse because you got to start with what you're building.
Okay, what happens if you don't do this systemically? Why does working non-systemically get companies into trouble?
There are two reasons. One is that when the community, regulators, and your consumers are watching you, they are not very interested that you've got a few best practices that are sustainable and that are responsible. And then there's a whole set of other things that you do that are not. So we just saw in the newspaper, companies which have been pursuing sustainability strongly are now being sued by their employees for how they engage their employees in the community. If it's not a systemic question, then you get caught for being inconsistent. And that's very bad for the price and the value of your company.
Yeah.
The second thing is it makes you not a place people want to work. People do not like to feel out of integrity in how they work.
Definitely.
People are more and more in their own lives caring about Earth, their communities. They do care about investors and the consumer, but they want all of that, not part of it, to be responsible.
And employees are very motivated working in a company that they believe is responsible.
Especially when you redesign it based on what I'm calling responsible, where the essence of every person who works in that company is brought to bear on the producing of products and service offerings. When they can bring something unique about themselves, they can feel like they're contributing and they're making a difference, you can't get them to leave. And if a company changes and someone has to leave, I know people like this, they hate it until they get the other company to move. So it's created these self-organizing ways of working where individuals can create something and they know what they're creating because it's tied to the strategy.
Now, besides the employees, from leadership and the management staff, it involves getting support from those who are involved in the production of the product.
That's why I decided the term co-creator was better than employees and suppliers, because they are one thing. You cannot engage in the development of just employees without engaging with suppliers. These are people in a live making something.
Right.
Meridian, which makes natural rugs, has created a relationship with its Brazilian suppliers where it's developing the entire community, because even though they for centuries have made these beautiful natural fibers and natural rugs, they didn't know how to run a business. Therefore, they didn't know how to strengthen a community. Going back and building that all the way upstream so that you've got it from earth to earth is a part of the responsible business.
Absolutely. Now, how about the term greenwashing?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes. One of the things we mean by greenwashing is companies, they're lying, but I don't think a lot. I think it's a small percentage. The second thing is the company thinks it's being responsible when it's doing some good things, it's giving back to the community, it's doing great philanthropy work, and it doesn't catch its own inconsistency.
Right.
But I think the ultimate thing we mean by greenwashing is we really don't understand how living things work. And so the kind of activities people are taking on aren't really making that much difference. They're doing things which they can check off on a scorecard, but they aren't asking the question, does this matter? Does this make Earth healthier? Does this make consumers have their life improved? Does this make employees and suppliers love working here and making a difference? And does it create healthier communities? Till they ask that question, they're still greenwashing.
All right. Now, let's take a look at another issue, and that's, what's the financial return?
The return is enormous. Several studies that have shown this, some through MIT also, that integrity in a business affects its share price significantly. People have seen increasing returns when they are able to have this total integrity and speak with one voice about one thing. They have very low turnover because people love working there. They have consistently valued products because people can count on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of responsibility, your customer consumer, is you're there in up and down markets in all of the challenges your consumer faces. And people increasingly valuing Earth and saying they will pay a premium price all comes back to the top line and the bottom line.
And I would think that in today's recessionary times, companies are looking for a way to do good, but also have additional money so that you can invest in growing your business.
I agree with that. But you're talking about the return to the bottom line, where you're not leaving something behind, but able to reinvest it.
Exactly.
I think there's one additional thing people need to add to that, which is growing the top line. The top line is how you increase effectiveness, so you actually grow the possible revenue, the markets, and the places that you can move the business into.
Sure.
You need a quintessential top line, those five stakeholders I've been talking about, the co-creator, the customer, the earth, the community, and the investor. That then gives you the ability to grow the business, and you still need to do the efficiency and the bottom line, too.
Of course. Carol, there are a lot of case studies in the book.
Yes.
Could you share one or two of those stories?
Absolutely. The Procter & Gamble story is really a fun one because it happened 50 years ago when no one was talking about responsibility, no one was talking about sustainability, and yet they built a new system around the idea that they wanted to do what was right. Mm-hmm. They ended up discovering before phosphates were outlawed that they were causing problems because they were hiring employees who understood how phosphates, one of the major chemicals in a detergent powder, were affecting waterways where they had farming. They worked with the legislatures to help remove phosphates because they had already created a substitute material which they knew had not that damaging effect. Now, let's talk about the business case for that.
All right.
Because the change was made in legislation, and because Procter & Gamble had been doing what was right all along and had created this substitute material, when all the others were pulled off the shelf, they were able to put their products on the shelf, and that was the major time P&G began to dominate a market, because they were out ahead doing what was right.
That's phenomenal. Well, how about another example?
Kingsford Charcoal did revolutionary work in how they worked with employees. They had workforces in many places which were highly illiterate, in some cases over 50%. But they knew that in order to make the changes they were going to have to make in manufacturing that were based on the strategy that we had created, they had to have employees who could read and write. But stuffing them in classrooms was not a very responsible way to do it. So they asked the employees what they really cared about. And all of them spoke about how they felt the community needed to know more about itself. There were no good little local papers. And they said, as a part of you learning to read and write, and we'll bring in teachers, we're going to create a community newspaper. This group learned to read and write, not only themselves, but brought in their wives and husbands and many of their adult children. It changed the community from having a very low rate of jobs and of literacy to having one that was so high that Toyota and the state of Kentucky gave the Kingsford Burnside, Kentucky facility awards for having created economic development.
Wow.
Now, they also, at the same time, went from a little regional brand that controlled very little market share to a national brand that to this day controls 70% market share.
That's a terrific one. And just to wrap this up, do you have anything you want to add?
Absolutely. And if people would like to contact me, they can go to my website, carolsanford.com, and there's tons of free literature there. I have published many pieces, and so please feel free to take them. I think they'll give you guidance, even if you choose to never talk to me. But if you do, I'd love to hear what you think.
We've been speaking to Carol Sanford, author of the new book, The Responsible Business, Reimagining Sustainability and Success. Carol, thanks for being our guest on today's program.
Well, thanks, Dave, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Join the American Management Association group on LinkedIn to share insights with hundreds of your management peers and to discuss practices in the areas of organizational management and leadership. To find us, simply search for the group American Management Association from your LinkedIn account. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.